God blesses iniquity. But you try your best, you cannot understand. That was the condition of our sister. During her childbirth, what she went all to, despite all her prayer, her fasting and everything, and all God told her is, trust my process. Trust my process. All he requires her to do is just trust him. But you can't trust him until you know some things. Hallelujah. But this is the assurance we have. We sing that song and then we continue with our message. In hymn number 32, it says, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will understand it better by and by. It's a song for reflection. Whatever is your situation, ourselves with this song, somebody.
We are often blessed and driven on the restless sea of life. Storm of skies and all in tempest of sub-seed of bright sunshine. In the land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we'll understand it better.
Yes, sir.
Better, by and
when the morning comes. One interesting thing about the process of salvation is that whether you understand it or not, it will not disturb God to take you through the process. Whether you understand what he's doing with you or not, he will do what he wants to do with you. Hallelujah. But you see, amen. The difference between me, an ordinary person, and a medical doctor is that when I'm undergoing any medical challenge, I don't know what is wrong. But there's a medical doctor that knows what is wrong.
Right.
Hallelujah. Because he knows what is wrong. If he falls into that same kind of a condition, amen. When he falls into that same kind of a condition, the way he will feel will be different from the way me that don't know will feel. When I think I'm going to die, he will just say, no, it will still run its course. It's a flu. Because he understands the anatomy and he understands the composition of the body. Hallelujah. You travel by air. You need to be, there are three categories of people in that aircraft. There is the pilot and the crew. The pilot and the crew, they fly every day. Every day they're in the air flying. They know everything. Then there are those who are frequent travelers by air. Then the third category are those who are entering for the first time that day. Oh, don't sit near somebody entering aircraft for the first time. When the aircraft shake like this, you will start to speak in tongue. What is happening? But while you are shaking there, the air crew, they are just moving, they are moving up and down, and then they are moving up and down, and they are laughing. While somebody is sweating, oh God, where will this thing land? Oh God. It's knowledge. Hallelujah. This gospel of the kingdom is revealed from faith to faith. The church shall live by faith. It's a revelation. It is good that you know this process of salvation. Now, when the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, you now understand what I'm saying. Oh, that the children of God, because they lack knowledge of salvation, see how all these agents of darkness who have transformed themselves to be pastors, see how they are messing us up. How can you say you know the process of salvation? You know who Jesus Christ is as a free gift. And you know your Bible that says freely we receive, freely we give. And somebody will tell you to bring money for there to be a solution. Or somebody will say bring a live goat. Bring something live. Bring fowl. Bring. How can? It's lack of knowledge. See. They were telling me the testimony of a young girl that a pastor from Benin, she didn't hear now, she didn't hear me. A pastor from Benin that says, she gave revelation, call her name. Who is bearing this? This name. And the person came out and he said, a girl. And he's saying that, death is all over you. Death is all over you. And this is the solution. The only solution is that they will have to come and bath you at the altar. Then they brought the poor girl to the altar. Then they used a wrapper of a sheet and then cover, then to so that then somebody is inside there and buffing her the altar. That is, we are now removing the dead and putting it in this altar. How can? But we are not to read the Bible. And they were sharing the testimony, and we were all laughing. Amen. And they pay money, tire for prayer. They said, those kind of churches, full Benin, they full Lagos. Then, you see, there's a scripture. Let me use this opportunity to say something. There's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. Listen very well. Let me use this
as
opportunity.
As the bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the costless shall not come.
Now, listen. Listen. I want to use this opportunity to say something, and it's very important. Every opportunity I remember some of these things, I say it. Listen. If you make me your pastor, then have confidence in me. Don't only answer amen to my pronouncement. Especially when it comes to the things of the spirit. If any pastor or prophet, whether it's here or outside, calls my own member and gives you a revelation to do anything, inform me. Inform me. Always remember, in the mouth of two or three witnesses before a matter is established. You waka waka like the bird, like the swallow, the Bible says. Leave here, go here, leave here. You will jam one man one day. That will give you revelation that will scatter your home, scatter your life forever. If you have to receive a revelation from a man, from a woman, anywhere, that will make you to look suspiciously to your husband or to your wife, tell your pastor. You don't they jam them, they go with that. And if they are in this church and they know that if they give you revelation, you will tell me, they will be careful. You say I'm your pastor and you are not allowing me to pastor you. You are here and then you have another prophet. Which, tell me any church that has any prophet operating in a level higher than the ones we have in this church. I have not seen it in Nigeria. I have not seen it. And you can't be in a place and not, you know, have respect or value, appreciate what God has given you. So it will not be a blessing to you. I have a gift. Let me just expose that. It's a secret for me. Anybody that talking to me, if it's a lie, a voice will tell me it's a lie. It's a gift.
Lie detector.
Hey. It's a gift. That one is. It's not. You are saying, you come to me, you are telling me like, I will know it is a lie.
Lie detector.
Lie detector. No, it's a grace. It gives me to watch over these people with it. So, listen. The mystery of the kingdom of darkness is as deep as the mystery of the kingdom of God. But he cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God cometh to comfort, to edify, and to exalt.
Hallelujah.
He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Don't make me be your pastor only at the pulpit. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that pastoral duty? Anybody can stand here and say, in Jesus' name, you say amen now. The main job is not at the pulpit. The main job is behind, outside the pulpit. To guide you. To counsel you. To advise you. He who has ear to hear, let him hear. Because I hear things. I hear things. But I will not call you if you don't come to me. You're entitled to your privacy. But I'm just trying to tell you, you have a grace here you are not benefiting from. May God help every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is this mystery I'm trying to let you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Concerning the mystery of redemption, it is deep. If you don't understand it, you will be blaming the church you attend as the reason for the calamities around you. So you left your former church. You came to Bride Assembly, the condition didn't change. Because it is not about the church. You left Bride Assembly, you go to another place, still the condition doesn't change. I know of brethren that have left Bride Assembly because of prophecy and what they are suffering. Some of them, they are too ashamed to come back. Why did you do that? Because you didn't have confidence in a pastor. Some of them, I have been their pastor, so-called, for 15-16 years. 15-16 years. But somebody will give them prophecy that I am evil. I am using their glory. Okay, now that you left, basically, when they use your glory, way, so then you came here with nothing, you marry here, you have children here, the church pay your children's school fees, house rent paid, bought car for you, maintaining the car for you, even sent you to go and obtain a degree, force you to go and obtain a degree in the university to upgrade you. Suddenly, he's using your glory. Kai, Satan is wicked. Satan is wicked. Then the person lives now and is begging up and down. He's a beggar up and down. Beggar. Ah, that arrow shall not catch any of you. We say amen in the name of Jesus. I said that arrow will not catch any of you listening to me in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, that one now by the side. The processing of the believer, part 2. And there are 3 parts. Part 2 today, the next Sunday, I'll conclude it. And why I'm excited at this is that a teacher of the Bible, a teacher of the fivefold ministry, told me that this sermon, processing of the believer, is the best sermon he has had this year. And I pray that people will also get the impact of what we're trying to bring out from these teachings. Everybody, I give my life to Christ, give my life to Christ. Then they go to church, you say follow, they go to church. Everywhere I follow, there is a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, or an admonishment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. Luke chapter 14. I'll give you some scripture also, because you need to know the meaning of the Bible. From verse 25, Luke chapter 14, from verse 25, read it up to verse 35. Listen very well.
And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and sent.
See, what did he do? Multitude were following him. Multitude were following him. So that you understand why, from verse 26.
And he turned and said unto them,
yes,
if any man come to me and hate not his father.
You are following him, Abi. You are following him, Abi. Okay, this is the condition to follow me. Oh.
If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
Uh-huh.
And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Uh-huh.
For which of you, intending to build a tower?
Now listen, this is the advice of Jesus. You want to follow him? Listen to this example.
For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Less happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish.
Hey.
Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace.
Oh.
So likewise, whosoever it be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost the savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
He went further again, Luke chapter 9, and verse 57 to verse 62.
And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay.
Okay, now you want to follow Jesus, Abby? Okay. Oh.
And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house.
Finally.
And Jesus said unto him, no man.
That is the scripture I'm looking for.
Having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Okay, now. Hallelujah. No man, you put your hand in the plow, then you look back, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. So this is what I want to tell some of the believers that are here listening to me now. Some of you are going to church. Are you going to church or are you going to Christ? If you are going to Christ, you are going to pass through a process. So that you will think whether you really want, you are ready to go through the process or not. It is this knowledge that every one of us needs that will establish a proper relationship with Christ. The angel told Lot and his family, get out of Sodom. And with emphasis, don't look back. It's because the angel knew that some people will look back. Why would they look back? Because they are not ready for what is ahead of them. If you are going to escape from the fire that is coming upon Lot, don't live with anything. Leave everything you acquired there. Fire is coming to destroy it. And the wife looked back. Therefore, she was not fit for the escape. She was not fit to be part of where the angel was taking them to. And Jesus Christ said, remember Lot's wife. What I'm telling you is deep. For what I'm sharing with you is what the Lord himself came to show me. You will not see it in any bookshop. So you better listen to me. And those of you who don't accept anything unless William Branham say it, there is no quote for it. Listen very well. When you are going to be saved through Jesus Christ, then be ready to go through the process he will take you through. Nicodemus came and acknowledged, hallelujah, the master, we know, the learned ones, we, Sanhedrin council, we, the leaders, scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Israel, we know you are a teacher sent from God. Except God be with you, you can't do these things, we know. And Jesus answered him. The answer that Jesus was actually giving him is, hallelujah, to let you know, you are admiring what I'm doing. You want to know what I'm doing. You will have to go through a process first. In John chapter 3, let's read it again for emphasis. We know it sometimes. things could be quickened for us from verse 1 up to verse 7.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
Marvel not.
The wind bloweth
where... Okay. Hallelujah. All he's telling him is that you are naturally like this, in your nature like this. You can never understand the kingdom. You can never enter. You can never understand until you go through a process. That is the meaning of saying you are born again. You are not born again because you came to the altar and repeated after a pastor. You are not born again. Look, we are to conform to the image of Christ. That is our image. That is our destiny. And for you to be conformed into an image, it is not abracadabra. There will be remolding. There will be resharpening. There will be a work of conversion and rearrangement of your body, soul, and spirit. What we have now, the way we are, we can never flow with God. So many people come to Christ and only add Jesus to your lifestyle. See them, watch them on television. Watch this gospel artist. Watch these motivational people. Go watch and see. There is nothing that speaks of conversion. Nothing. Nothing speaks of conversion. Amen. Hallelujah. And so there is a process you will go in verse 5 of that John chapter 3. He said, this will be the process. What is the process?
Except a man be born of water.
You have to be born. To be born there is to go through the process of having life again. You have to go through the process of having life again. This one you have now is carrying death. There's a curse following it. Satan has manipulated it until he's totally in control. The estate you are in, you can't relate with God. Except you are born of what?
Except the man be born of water and of the Spirit.
The process is what he's now explaining. Which water? Ephesians 5, verse 25, verse 20 and 20 to 27. Now listen to the way it is put.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
See, the problem we have, I want to repeat and stretch something. God is not looking for good people. Don't know how I can explain this. If you come to Christ boasting how pious you are, you don't lie, you don't commit fornication, you everything you have, you give it out. You're nice, you're full of love for people, you're ever merciful. In fact, you have 1,000 people that you are sponsoring scholarship. Before God, he said that is filthy rag. Do you know why it is filthy rag? Because that estate of your life takes God away. Anything you can boast of that does not acknowledge the work of God in your life is filthy rag before God. It is not acceptable. Until the day you catch that, before you will know the power that is in the blood of Jesus and why he had to go to the cross on Calvary. Read it for me, verse 25, Ephesians chapter 5.
Husbands, love your wives.
Now, he's trying to explain something about redemption. Yes?
even as Christ also loved the church.
This is how he loved his church.
And gave himself for it.
I'm trying to explain which water. Go ahead.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
So which water is he referring to?
The word.
Which water?
The word.
The water of the word. And of course, the water there, it is both for water baptism and the water of the word. What natural water does to use it to clean any dirt around, you wash your body, to clean your physical body when you are dirty, it is water you use to bathe. So also your spirit man, the water that you use to wash yourself clean spiritually is the water of the word. Finish that reading.
That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
So the process of sanctification, the second work of grace, the process of sanctification is the process of the washing of your spirit man of the water by the word. That is why in John 17 verse 17, this is what he said concerning his disciples.
Sanctify them through thy truth.
Uh-huh.
Thy word is truth.
Again.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
So the process of sanctification is through the word. It's through the word. Verse 3 of John 15. John 15, what does it say?
Now ye are clean through the word.
Again.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
He's telling the disciples, now you are clean. What is it that cleaned them up?
The word.
The word that he has spoken to them. So the washing of the water by the word. The process of sanctification is by the word. That is why he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. The word. The word. It is the word that cleanses you. It is not fasting. Oh, don't bother to fast so that you will become holy. Fasting does not make you holy. Witches fast. There are people that go to fast so that in the essence of fasting, they can lay curse on somebody that has offended them. But it is the word that will remove hatred, that will remove unforgiveness. It is the word that will build love, cause you to love even those who hate you. Listen again, though. If you have committed sin, you are fasting. You're only punishing your body for making you fall down. That fasting is like a penance. Catholicism. You are so angry that this flesh, you keep making me fall trouble. You have to do 4 days, you don't eat. What will make you to be sanctified is the amount you have of the word you have loaded in you. The word you have loaded in you. Somebody told me, he said, Pastor, he said, you stand at the altar, you preach, and when you stand there, then he'll be talking to you from above. I say, I'm not a prophet. It's a prophet that doesn't even know what is going to happen next till he handle microphone. But it is what I have read before. That at the right time, he now drops something that makes me understand it. If me as a teacher don't read, I will be as empty as anything. Because it is what is already in you that is quickened. So also, hallelujah, it is the word of God in you that will keep you from committing sin. How? You have already loaded the word in you. And as you are going to commit any particular type of sin, the word of God concerning what you want to do will ring out inside of you. But if you don't have anything that God will use, there will be nothing to check you. Because God deals with us only by his word. Therefore, we don't study so that we will let people think that we have the word, we know the word. We study so that we shall have a guide. If you see yourself swimming and committing sin anyhow, it is evidence you are empty, empty of God's word inside of you. God will never speak to you by a voice in your ear. Hey, stand up from her. Stand up from her. It's a fornication. Stand up from her. Then you say, oh, Father, I'm sorry. No. That voice that speaks against sin does not speak in the ear. It speaks in the heart. It speaks in your conscience. Anytime you do something contrary to the word of God, he removes his peace from you. Your heart becomes troubled. Your spirit is disorganized. And then he will cause you to know you have broken his principle. That is why it's important to study the word. Study the word. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. That's the way he put it. For our sanctification. This is what he has ordained us to pass through.
Elect, according to the
foreknowledge. He's calling us. Are they here? Elect of God. Wave your hand. Let me see. Wait. Elect of God, stand up. Okay. Count them. Send the rest out of the church. When were you elected?
On the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah. This letter is to you. Sit down.
Elect.
Read it.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God.
Of course. Father, how are we elected? Through what?
Foreknowledge of God the Father.
Through what?
Sanctification of the Spirit.
We are elected through sanctification. Sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience.
And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. And in verse 22, this is how we are born again.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto a feigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Now verse 23.
Being born again.
How are you born again?
Not of corruptible seed.
What made you to be born again is not a corruptible seed like the seed of man. But the thing that got you born again is what?
But of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
The word we got born again with is by the word of God. It is the word of God that you received that brought life to you.
Hallelujah.
And that word abideth forever. Nothing can destroy it.
Amen.
The blessed assurance. Hallelujah. So that you understand what Apostle Paul meant in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 14.
For we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God had from the beginning,
chosen you to salvation through what?
Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Whereunto
he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord.
And the process of sanctification is through the washing of the water by the word. The same thing, Titus chapter 2, verse 11, 12, 13, 14. Titus chapter 2.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation.
The grace, the type of grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching what?
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Go on.
Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity.
And do what?
And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
That is the emphasis. That is the emphasis of the salvation process. This thing we call conversion. 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 Conversion here This process is sometimes uncomfortable. That's why I say you can put your hand in the plow and look back. Because that is why he said, count the cost before you go in. Because your nature is going to be broken down, put to pieces, and remolded. Are you ready for it? If you are not ready, don't come to Jesus. In John chapter 15, verse 1, 2.
I am the true vine.
Yes.
And my Father is the husbandman.
Listen very well.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
Again.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit.
What will happen?
He taketh away.
Uh-huh.
And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth.
What does he do to those who are now bearing fruit?
He purgeth it.
Do you know what it means to purge? He will prune you. Hallelujah. So, the attention of God is more, his work is more on those who come to him and begin to start to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. That is the sign that it is working. There are some that are not ready at all. He said he will just cut you off. Now, cutting you off there is not driving you away from church. You may be seated in a church and he has already cut off from you. Because you are not ready to submit yourself for him to mold you. So he leaves you, and then they are the type that are living very wicked life and still prospering in it. If they are gifted, the gift will increase. If they are businessmen, their businesses will boom them all. If they are prostituting, men will be rushing after them the more. The holy ones, they know they see men, they come. But this other one that live anyhow, men will be flooding. And you do not know that it is evidence that you are cut off. But the Bible says, for instance, that the woman that liveth in pleasure is what? Dead while she liveth. And this purging, to purge, you know what it means to purge? To keep you clean. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. When you are born again, amen. The same process that he cleans his children up is the same process. If you go before a midwife, when a new child is born, a baby is born, where is the, any midwife here? Any midwife here in our midst? You are all in the clinic. No midwife here to teach us how it happened. Well, some of us have witnessed it. Some of us have witnessed it. When a baby is given birth to, from the location he's coming, the world where he was living before, he will come with all the attachment of where he's coming from. Am I correct? He's coming, he was living in one setting before. Now you have come to another world. You are coming with all manner of dirty. Even the umbilical cord is still attached to his former environment. It must be cut off. So you watch what happens. Amen. There will be need to clean up that child. But even before the child, amen, is clean, you want to be sure that it's not a stillbirth. If it's a stillbirth, there is no need to bother to wash. You are in dirty, throw away them. So you want to be sure that it's alive. And that is why the new birth cannot be silent. Oh, glory be to God. There will be manifestations. There will be manifestations. If there are no manifestations, the midwife will do what? He, piap. Turn her upside down. He, piap. Come on, say something. Before you know, hera mama so terrible. You say, okay, you don't get life. Don't get life. You don't get life. Don't get life. Then you are qualified now to be washed. You have been justified. Now it is time to be washed. You have life now. But you can't be like this. Other normal human beings don't come like this. They don't work out like this. Amen. Now, I am telling you that this is what every Christian will go through. If you have not gone through it, get ready. You will soon be born again. As you are listening to me, at least know the process so that you can know what Apostle Paul said, give diligence to make your calling and election. Peter said it. And Apostle Paul said that examine yourself if you be in the faith. Now, so listen very well. The baby is washed. What do you use to wash that baby? Water. You wash the baby. You clean the baby. Amen. But now, you will observe that when the baby is being cleaned, the baby cries. Because the process of removing all the attachment, amen, is not comfortable for the baby. If you have the right people that know how to bath the baby, do you know what? Sometimes there are two people that are not allowed to wash the baby. The mother is not the one that washes the baby. Because the mother does not want to hear the baby cry. So he'll be doing it small, small now. Ah, there was a sister here. Ah, Sister Okariaku. When we had the junior, oh God, I thought she was wicked. This woman is not happy that I now have a son. My wife will turn and say, this sister, after 3 days, he said, sister, no come again. Amen. Another person, if you want to, the baby to be clean, properly clean, don't hand over that baby to the grandmother. The grandparents don't like to hear the cry of their grandchildren. It's their pet. So that baby will never, and what I'm saying so is that there are grandmother churches. There are grandmother churches. Take it easy with them. That's why. Don't keep them long in the church. Why do you preach sermon for so long? I watch 1.5 hours on Sunday. 1 hour. Another church, 1.5 hours. Second service, 1.5 hours. Third service, 6 services. Or so. 1.5 hours. 1 hour. So I sat down and I was imagining. What do they teach them? What do they do? They come and they rush. And then, these children of God, that is the kind of church they like. So that, I want to go where my time will not be wasted. So I can finish quickly. And you know, the UEFA is on now. So that we'll go and watch UEFA. So that we'll go and watch football. So that we'll go for town meeting. You know, our town meeting is every Sunday. So that we'll go for town meeting. I have other things to do now on Sundays. On Sunday, only Sunday I have time. The program for God is secondary. Others are more important. That is why he can take all the time for other things, but the time to give for God, you know, is secondary. The reason is because the person bringing you up is a grandmother. Grandmother church. The first time I went to Germany, Munich, for a program, the church they went to use is owned by Christ Embassy Church. They approached. He didn't allow us. They approached him. And he said, no, we don't want. don't want people to come and preach and bring condemnation upon the members. Don't want people to come here and preach condemnation. Don't want anybody to be condemned. God is good. God is good. That is a grandmother church. The spirit today is the spirit of grandmother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is why concerning he who is qualified to be a pastor, he must not be a novice. He must not be a novice. He must know the right material to use to bring up the people. How do you want to remove dirty and then you want to bath a child that goes out to be running sand everywhere, barefooted, everywhere with the neighbors, running up and down, dirty all over. Then when he enter, you are using foam to wash him. Will he be clean? You will boil hot water first. Then you will use sponge. It must be not soft sponge. The right one. Yours, from the date, you'll be able to know which sponge to use. Amen. Upon the hard sponge we use here. Upon the hard sponge we use here. There are men that are still beating their wives in Brother Assembly Church. Okay, so if I'm going to talk to such a person, hey brother, it's not good though. It's not good though. It's not good though. Don't do that, you hear? Don't do that, you hear? We will stand you up openly before the whole church and excommunicate you. And if you run away from church, we will put your picture on the screen. So our cameraman, make sure every man get picture, so that when they find out, we'll see them. Then there are sisters here. The inside the church, they dress like us. When they go out, another thing they see. Go to their Facebook. Then, how do you want me to talk to those people? Hey, sister, why now? You like trousers like this? Hey, God doesn't like it too. Take it easy, you hear? In 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1.
I charge thee before God, uh-huh, and the Lord Jesus Christ, uh-huh, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom.
See the commission that Apostle Paul was giving Timothy. What did he say?
Preach the word.
Preach the word.
Be instant in season, out of season. Uh-huh. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
Again. When he said preach the word here, he's not talking about the mystery. He's not talking about water baptism and the Godhead. That's not what it means. So he's talking about the word that will bring transformation. Read on again.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
Why?
For the time will come when they will not endure.
Again.
For the time will come when they will not endure
sound doctrine. The people listening to you, they will not endure sound doctrine again.
But after their own lust, uh-huh, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Uh-huh. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth.
They will turn away their ears from the truth. And it is only the truth that sanctifies.
And shall be turned unto fables.
Fables, things that have no salvation bearing. Verse 5.
But watch thou in all things.
That is the admonishment for every minister of God.
Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy
How
ministry.
Will I make full proof of my ministry? You are our epistle. You are the evidence of the ministry. You are our epistle, seen and read of all men. It's not going to be easy, but we will do it. It's for your own good. So don't judge me by the way I preach. So many of you don't like the way I preach. That's why you don't relate with me. You only say amen to my prayers. Then you have another pastor there where you share your problems with. Some of you even are afraid that if you tell me, I will use it and preach you. I know what to use to preach. And I know what to use for counseling. Amen. There's a scripture we'll look at again. In Isaiah chapter 28 from verse 9 and verse 10.
Whom shall he teach knowledge?
Before you read it, what does 1 Peter say? Verse 2 and 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. I want you to catch something, then we'll come to Isaiah 28.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
Again.
As newborn babes.
As newborn babies. Can you see? Once you are born again, what you are to desire for your spiritual strength is what?
Desire the sincere milk of the word.
It is the milk of the word.
That ye may grow thereby.
You will grow through that milk. Uh-huh.
If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Now, so if you go to Isaiah 28 now, you now understand the language used there.
Whom shall he teach knowledge?
Who can be taught knowledge? Who can be taught how to become a Christian?
And uh-huh. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine?
Uh-huh.
Them that are weaned from the milk.
Who?
Them that are weaned from the milk.
Them that are weaned from the milk.
And drawn from the breast.
And drawn from the breasts.
For precepts must be upon precepts. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Yea, a little, and there a little.
Amen. When the Bible says you should desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, this is what he says. Who will he teach knowledge and who will he make to know doctrine? He said, them that are weaned. Now, from the milk and drawn from the breast. And every mother here, you know. I don't know whether it still happen now. Because modern day women, they know they feed from breast again. They get different types of feeding bottle. So, you will understand this scripture. But the older women we know, and those who cannot buy Cerelac, and those who cannot afford SMA, gold or silver, and what again? Those ones, you have, and the truth about it is, amen. Hi. Even medical people say you should exclusive breastfeeding. You see, why would you like to give animal milk to your pikin? That is why we have animals everywhere in the streets. Behaving like animals. Because they didn't draw from the mother. The life inside of them, an animal. If not, how will a normal human being want to dress and look like a goat? He goat. See their hair. Find out very well that boy that will do hair all and leave small for here to look like a he goat for here like this. They will shave everywhere, leave something here, he goat, the milk where he chop. Where he was growing up, maybe goat meat. Goat milk. And they are never strong. That's why they carry, they go hospital today, tomorrow. Hospital today, tomorrow. But go and see, pass through this road, then they live for inside one bush here. Your pikin can't live there. Go and see those small children for inside one bush here. Then they were calling like for the flood. Then they were calling like, but you see the kakaraka, the kakaraka. Nothing they touch them. Nothing they touch them. The immune system is strong because of where they are from. Now, such a child that is, he loved the breast milk. He'd be feeding it for months. Then suddenly the mother will say, don't do. He said, who will you teach knowledge? And who will you teach?
Make to understand.
Make doctrine. To understand doctrine. Them that are what?
Drawn from, win from the milk and draw. They,
you the win them from the milk and draw them from the breast. Now, the process of winning them and drawing them is always a battle between the mother and the child. And yet, he is only fulfilling Hebrew chapter 6. Hebrew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What did he say there, Apostle Paul?
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from
Let's go into what?
Unto perfection.
We are now moving into perfection, not going again into the doctrine of what?
Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works.
That is milk.
And of faith toward God.
Milk.
Of the doctrine of baptisms.
Milk.
And of laying on of hands.
Milk.
And of resurrection of the dead.
Milk.
And of eternal judgment.
Milk. Go into what?
Perfection.
Move from these things and go into perfection. And to go into perfection, you must win them from the milk and from the breast. Throw them away. So that they are now going to now eat strong meat. Milk will not build their muscles at a certain age. Every day, water baptism, Jesus said, God had this, then that which will make you perfect, you don't receive it. And yet he said, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. You must be matured. And this is the stature of perfection. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is what you're supposed to grow to. Grow to. And you have to move from one step to the other. Read it from verse 1. Read it from verse 1. So Simon that we Peter, catch it very clearly there.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To them that have obtained like precious faith.
Are they here today? Yes. Go ahead.
Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Now listen, yes?
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord.
Grace and peace will only be multiplied through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life.
He has given it to us. All things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. He has given it to us. Through what?
Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these ye might be partaker of.
If you are going to be a partaker of the divine nature. To be like Jesus. Let that beauty of Jesus be seen in me. If you see me, you see Jesus. It is his divine nature. The divine nature of God. Let's read on. Let's read on.
That by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world.
Yes.
Lost.
Yes.
And beside this.
Now, go ahead.
Giving all diligence.
What are you to do?
Add to your faith.
What are you to do? Give all.
Diligence.
Give all diligence. Diligence. He said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. These are the things you give diligence to. This is what you use to measure your stature of perfection. This is the estate where you grow to maturity. What is it?
I'm giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge.
You will add knowledge to it.
And to knowledge, temperance.
Now listen, each of these is a stage of growth. You grow from one level to another, to another. To another, read on.
And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience.
Yes.
And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, hallelujah. The interesting thing about this is that for you to move from one stage to another stage, it is a process you undergo. It doesn't just add like that. Each time you are to be promoted to the next level, there is a process you will go through. And those processes are always not comfortable. That's my emphasis. And so he used the eagle to also explain what I'm saying here. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7. First and foremost, okay, go ahead, read it.
Remember the days of old.
Uh-huh.
Consider the years of many generations.
Uh-huh.
Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam.
There is no, you will not ask any other father. Read the Bible, you will see the whole story there. Go ahead.
He sets the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
Uh-huh.
But the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance.
That is the only group of people that he said belong to him on earth here. The children of Jacob, the nation of Israel. Go ahead.
He found him in a desert land.
That's his history.
And in the waste howling wilderness.
Uh-huh.
He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye.
Uh-huh.
As an eagle's chariot up a nest.
Verse 11 is my emphasis.
As an eagle's chariot up a nest.
Uh-huh.
Fluttereth over her young.
Uh-huh.
Spreadeth abroad her wings.
Uh-huh.
Taketh them, beareth them on her wings.
Uh-huh.
So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God.
Verse 11 again. This is how he led them in the wilderness.
As an eagle's chariot up a nest. Fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, so there was no strange God with him.
So if you want to understand how God deals with his children, this verse, it's important that you understand it. First and foremost, in Job chapter 39, verse 27 to 30. See the description of the eagle there again. He said, doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high?
She dwelleth and abideth on the rock.
She does what?
She dwelleth and abideth on the rock.
That is where the eagle abides, on the rock.
Upon the crag of the rock.
Uh-huh.
And the strong place.
Uh-huh.
From thence she seeketh the prey.
Uh-huh.
And her eyes behold afar off.
Uh-huh.
Her young ones also suck up blood.
Oh my mind.
And where the slain are, there is she.
That's why they say where the carcass is, there the eagles will be. So that rock there is actually a mountain. It says it's a strong place. That is where the eagle makes her nest. Because that is where she is going to lay her eggs and hatch her young ones. He selects the top of a rock where lizards and snakes and everything can never get near there. That is the position of the believer. The Bible says we are seated in Christ far. That is where Christ is seated. Christ is seated far above principalities and powers. And we are seated with him. We are untouchable. That's why he described them as the apple of his eyes. Israel. The same way that eagle relates with her young one, that is how God relates with us. Now, there is the interesting thing. You can Google it and read it. I've tried to read them. That there is the peculiarity about that mama eagle. In fact, they said the nest is always very deep. He makes it and puts it with feathers, cushion, very comfortable. There, he places the young ones. He is the one that goes out to look for food. Eventually, come down there every day, put fresh food there. In fact, it is spoken that he feeds them mouth to mouth. They will just sit there and say, hey, mama will put them, mwah. Hey, mwah. He will go out again. Bring the food again. Bring it to them. All they don't need to do is just cry small. It don't fly out again. They are hungry. Go and bring food again and put there. Who will he teach knowledge?
Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast.
Then, in Deuteronomy 32, let's read it again. What did he say? Verse 10, verse 11?
Verse 11, as an eagle's chariot up a nest.
See now, see, he said, The eagle suddenly one day, he will look. This, your wings, they don't grow now. Every mother, how do you know it is time for the child to be weaned from the breast, from the milk? Eh? When you feel they play with the tip of the mother's breast and bite it, the mama will say, oh, you don't get it. Amen. The power tussle begins. So maybe the mama eagle comes and sees the wings are grown now. People are sitting down here. What did he say as a level? The first thing he will do is what?
Tear it up a nest.
Now, he will he will come one day, scatter everything there. Hey, church. Maybe that's why your life is being scattered now. You don't know. When you are born again, oh my. That first period of your new birth, before you say in Jesus' name, child, answer don't come. Oh my. In fact, you don't even pray. The angel comes. In fact, he prays through you. Don't wake up. Find yourself speaking in tongue. No effort. No effort. Everything don't go smooth. Any sickness will come in Jesus' name. Don't go, wow. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He's my friend. Suddenly the mama eagle will come. What does he do?
Stir it up.
It will scatter everything. Destroy the nest. The cushion that is there. Leave the nest like that. With all the chuku that is inside. Then they will start to cry. Why are things like this around me? What is happening? Oh, have I offended God? Why has he forsaken me? What is this? Why am I going through this? What have I done? Why? What is this? Father, forgive me. I know you're a merciful God. Why is everything now? Attack here. I don't sleep in the night again. Attack. The mama will come and say, you are hungry. You are sitting down here. You are hungry. This, come. You have wings. Come, let's go and look for food. Without telling them what he wants to do, he will say, let's go on a cruise. What did he say? What does he do?
Fluttereth over her young.
He fluttereth over her young and does what?
Spreadeth abroad her
wings. He will now spread abroad her wings and taketh them and bears them on her wings. You know why he's doing that? Now, he will take them. It is training in faith. Training to make you discover that what all that I have is also in you. The power I have, you have it. This sign shall follow them that believe. You have the power. If ye shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast, like I spoke to that tree, you have the power also. For death and life is in your tongue. Just say it. You are there crying. Moses, speak. You are crying. Come, let me teach you. He will take them. That is the peculiarity of that bird. He will take them, fly up, go very high, and all of a sudden, he will flutter his wings. Turn them like this and throw them. They are doing free fall. They are crying. Hey, mommy. They are the type that when one demon enters their room, they are calling Professor Sunday. They are calling Pastor Zoe. They know they call me. They are calling prayer warriors. To use the same mouth. Like say you don't get mouth. No be mouth you they use. Sonny, no be mouth you they use. Zoe, no be mouth. If you call me, what will I use? Now, mouth now. You don't get mouth. He said, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Pray without ceasing. Say to this mountain, say something. Tell your neighbor, say something. Don't murmur. And as soon as he will come back and while they are crying, he will sprinkle the wings again and pick them up again. Then he will have faith lesson, Bible study. Why are you crying? You see these wings, they are meant for this, they are meant for that. You try the second time again, some will catch it. Those who catch it, you will use it. Can't you see how that one did his own? Can't you see how the other one did his own? Why were you crying? They will go again. And before you know what, he banged it. Then they begin to flutter. And they discover that, me too. I can fly you. I can fly. I can fly. I can fly. And from that day, they will look for the food they will eat by themselves. They now have power to go and devour. They have power to go for the fresh kill. Praise the Lord. My emphasis is the process the mama eagle goes through to achieve that boldness. That is the same way God leads his own children. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the same way he leads us. And we are supposed to be vessels that God can use. If God is going to use you, then he can only use clean vessels. And that's why 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 21. But 2 Timothy, yes.
In a great house.
In a great house.
There are not only vessels of gold and of silver,
uh-huh,
but also of wood and of earth,
uh-huh,
and some to honor and some to dishonor.
Uh-huh.
If a man therefore purge himself from this,
listen very well, yes.
He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet
and
for the
suitable use, for the master's use,
and prepared unto every good work.
Hallelujah. And we will get this clearer. Maybe when we look an example of the flower, I think it's a rose flower that has a beautiful scent. As long as the flower is there in its estate like that, you will not smell the aroma. If you want to smell the aroma very well for what is the composition, hallelujah, that will enable it to be kept around the house and used by the king so that the king can smell very well with the aroma of that rose flower, it is normally squeezed. Brethren, some things you are going through may be your squeezing time. So that virtue that is in you, that God put inside of you to glorify himself in you, will come out. Praise the Lord. Of course, amen. If you didn't squeeze it, you wouldn't have smelt the wonderful aroma there. You will need to squeeze bitter leaf for you to know how bitter that leaf is. Looking at it only, you won't know it is bitter until you squeeze it. Then you say, "Chai, this is bitter leaf water." You won't know that that fish is electric fish until you touch it. When you touch it, what is inside of it will come out to tell you, "Get away from me, or you die." There are some Christians, you think they are Christians, but if you come near them, you will die. They kill you spiritually. For a tree is known by her fruits. See the two types of fruits here. One is called the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. 2021.
Now, the works of the flesh are manifest.
That is evidence that you are a carnal person, you are not converted. There is still a lot of work to be done in you. Is what?
Which are these?
Uh-huh.
Adultery,
uh-huh,
fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
You see, listen very well. Let me explain that verse. It's important that you understand. Listen very well. Please understand this verse with me very well. Teacher Zoe, you are hearing me? Please make sure you listen to me very well. All of you teachers, especially we the teachers that teach people. There is a way we present this thing to mean, if you want to go enter into the kingdom of heaven, you should not fornicate. You should not commit adultery. That's not the meaning of that verse. That verse is the carnal estate of a man. That verse is the carnal estate of a man. The carnal man, this is your identification. But before we go to verse 22, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Listen very well.
Be not deceived.
Uh-huh.
Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves to mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom
of God. Now, the next verse makes you understand why he said it.
And such were some of you.
Such we are some of us. That is why he said, except you are born of the spirit and of water, you cannot enter. He's telling you, this is who we all were before. Such were some of you, but what?
But ye are washed.
When you are washed.
But ye are sanctified.
When you are sanctified.
But ye are justified.
And you are justified.
In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit.
And it will only be through that process he will take you through. Because your carnal nature cannot. And this is the identification. Go back to that verse 19 again of Galatians chapter 5.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest.
It is called the works of the flesh. That's why you must be born again.
Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness.
So that you will not come and say, you are running away from fornication so that you enter into the kingdom of God. No. No. There's nothing. If you run away from one, you may be guilty of another. Okay now.
Lasciviousness,
yes.
Idolatry,
yes.
Witchcraft,
yes.
Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies.
There are many pastors, even believers, that are not committing fornication, adultery, or lying, or murder, but they are heretic.
Envyings.
And they may be heretic, yes. Envying.
Murders.
Uh-huh.
Drunkenness.
Uh-huh.
Revelings. And such like,
uh-huh.
Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
But when you submit yourself now, this is what takes place from verse 22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Now, when you allow the Spirit of God, he, except you are born of the Spirit and of water. Can you see it? The Spirit there is the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The water there cleaning you up of all your nyama carnalities. Uh-huh.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love.
When you are able to submit yourself, this will be your identity.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Love. Peace.
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering.
Gentleness.
Uh-huh.
Goodness.
Uh-huh.
Faith.
Uh-huh.
Meekness.
Uh-huh.
Temperance. Against such, there is no law.
There is no law because there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Who do what? Listen, church. I want you to catch the importance of submitting yourself for conversion. So that you understand when Jesus Christ said, come to me. Come there. Offer yourself a living sacrifice. Yourself totally to him. So that you allow him to do that work of conversion. It is then you say you are experiencing grace. There's a process it will take you through. And sometimes you understand it. Sometimes you don't understand it. That's why we allow testimonies. Testimonies from people to help us understand how God takes his people through. Praise the Lord. So this is the admonishment of Apostle Paul. In Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 5 up to verse 11.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
God has no relationship with unbelievers. That's why he doesn't bother with them. But you, a child of God, listen to the process for your glorification. If you are one evidence that you are a true child of God is if you commit anything, God will deal with you. Not too many people understand this mystery. If you see yourself swimming in iniquity and nothing is checking you, among the things that God can use to deal with you, he will include that witch in your compound, in your family, that will take total control of your life, dealing with you. Didn't the Bible say, if a man's way please the Lord, he maketh the enemies to be at peace with him? Why is everybody fighting you? You have no peace again. It may be there's something you are doing that God is not happy with you. And that itself is evidence you are a true child of God. You are among the elect. He can run down your business if it is the business that makes you not to have time for him, to bring you back to fellowship with him. And after you come back, then he will restore it. Some of you have responsibilities in the church that you don't take seriously. You are working against the progress of the church. God will make sure your own life too, the progress is affected. Then when you come, cry, go everywhere. There are some problems you have that you don't go for deliverance. Your deliverance is in repentance. That's all. Stop wasting yourself doing any fasting. Of course, if you go, the prophet will always tell you now where the attack is coming from. He will tell you which weapon, but he won't tell you why the weapon is coming. So you too now, with your knowledge of the scripture, you will be able to confidently say, I know why the edge has been broken. Please read that scripture again.
Verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
It is only those he loves that he chastens, yes?
And scourgeth every
son. He will scourge you. That's the purging.
Whom he receiveth.
Whom he receiveth.
If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons.
As sons.
For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons.
You see?
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure.
Yes.
But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous.
Listen very well. That verse is my emphasis now.
Now, no chastening for the present seems to be
joyous.
The
process is always not palatable. It's not joyous.
But grievous.
It's always grievous, painful.
Nevertheless, afterwards.
Afterwards.
It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised.
That's why we say we will understand it better. By and by. That's why James chapter 1 and verse 2, 3, 4 say we should count it all joy.
My brethren, count it all joy.
Count it all joy. Joy.
When you fall into diverse temptations.
Don't cry. Don't murmur. Don't grumble. Count it all joy, because there is going to be a fine result for your own good. For your own good. What is it?
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith,
it will produce patience, which is among the stature of perfection.
But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Hallelujah. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. I'm talking about the process not being palatable.
Enter ye in at the straight gate.
Yes.
For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat.
Again.
Enter ye in at the straight gate.
The straight gate. And there is the wide gate.
For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate.
Because straight, here it's not be straight line, no. Narrow. The gate is narrow because the way too is narrow. If the way is narrow, the gate will be narrow.
Which leadeth unto life.
Now, so when he says strive to enter, it means you cannot pass through that gate anyhow. You will have to come to an estate where you are capable of going through that gate. So when you reach that gate, to fit into that straight gate, that straight, tight gate, is a tight gate, there will be a processing of your life again. Processing of your spirit man that will be able to fit into that place and go through. But those who will not submit themselves to be processed, to fit and pass through that way, they will go through the wide way. It doesn't matter. God is good. So many people go in there, but the end is the way of destruction. So submit yourself. Whatever you go through as a Christian, remember, all things work together for good. To them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. If all things will work together for good, then you understand why God told that sister, trust my process. Trust my process. Because it's going to work out for your own good. And so, what is this process for glorification? This is the way, you know, he assured us. All things work together for good. In that Romans 8 verse 30. Romans 8 verse 30.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified.
You see the process? Again.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also.
They are the
called.
Ones he called. And when he called you, there's a process he will go through.
Then he also justified.
It's the same process.
And whom he justified.
After he has justified you,
then he also glorified.
Then he will glorify you. He will glorify you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, remember that scripture we read in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18.
But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory.
We are changed from what?
Glory to glory.
Into the same image. Our destiny is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. And we are changed into that glory from into from, that image.
From glory from, to glory.
From what?
Glory to glory.
From glory to glory. Even as who does it?
By the Spirit.
That's why you
Lord.
Must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That is what enables you to achieve that glory that has been ordained. And all of us go through this process for glorification. So when you see things happening around you, trust my process. Shall we stand up? Hymn number 30. I'm pressing on the upward.